Hey, good morning, Eastern Oregon, and welcome to this May 7th version of AM Live on EOA, your connection to Eastern Oregon. And we're also on the EOA network. And here in just a bit, we're going to have Nick Vora and Kyle Tucker from the Union County Rescue. When did I mess that up?
Search and Rescue.
Thank you. Union County Search and Rescue will be here with us today. Great conversation. Looking forward to that. How are you, man?
Good morning. Good morning. It's our first show in a week.
Yeah.
We didn't do a show Thursday.
Yeah, we did. Right. No, we didn't. First but there show. Was one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we
Yeah, we did that replay. Yeah.
But so. We haven't been live in a week.
Man, yeah.
It's already May.
Yeah. And the weather is still upside down. Yeah.
The car was frozen this morning. I didn't drive, but I checked it. I walked, but it was nice walk, but the car was covered in ice today.
Yeah, no, it's just so bonkers, but
it is May what it is.
Yeah, I told Tanya this morning, it's like, we're still in fall. I mean, you know, because that's kind of feels like. It feels
we're still in fall? That would be going way back.
Well, I know, but it feels like, well, and this last weekend, on Sunday afternoon, we had some time, so I went to all of the reservoirs on the east side of the county, and I mean, the wind was just, I mean, it felt like fall, you know, how when the wind is cold coming right off of the mountains and yeah, just had a
wind. It needs to warm up a little bit because I need some Morel pizza bad.
Some Morel pizza?
Yeah.
You know, I heard somebody the other day who got really, almost died from eating uncooked Morels. Yeah. Was on the news.
There's one that kind of looks like a Morel that is not good for you, but.
Well, I don't. Huh. Can you eat Morels raw as far as you know?
I have. I mean, I've tried it raw. I don't normally.
Well, that's why I was super confused. I mean, this was a major news story, and she'd eaten something.
I'm pretty
something.
Sure you can eat them raw.
Yeah.
I've eaten it raw before.
Yeah.
It didn't kill me.
Yeah.
Oh. But then again, I could leave pizza out for like 3 days and eat it out
and
the
eat
box
it anyhow.
And, yeah, I'm good. Dude. I've never had any issues.
Yeah, then it's just petrified. Yeah. So it's like you're good.
It could be moving probably like little ants are carrying it away.
Yeah, like just pizza. More protein for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We might have to get him a car. Yeah. So the Morels or what?
I don't know. I can't listen to my ear and think at the same time. So.
Well, you want to do sports?
Let's do it.
All right.
AM Sports Report brought to you by Northwest Furniture and Mattress. I mean, now's the perfect time to go check them out. That other store is closing, and they're the only horse in town now. But that doesn't even matter because Northwest Furniture and Mattress, their selection, just their customer service is top notch. Go check them out. Big red rocking chair on Elm off Adams and LeGrand. Andrew Peasley signed his undrafted free agent rookie contract with the New York Jets.
That's awesome.
So it's so awesome. A lot of hard work goes into that. And I mean, so what this means is he'll get invited to training camp, and he'll get to play in some preseason games. I mean, they're going to look at him. He's part of the 90-man roster that, you know, going in. Now, they're going to cut that roster in half, basically, by the time the season starts. So this doesn't mean that you're going to see him on the sidelines, per se, but you could. And
right.
And he signed an NFL contract, which is absolutely awesome. Congratulations to Andrew. LHS softball ran their record to 17-1 on the season with a 9-0 victory over Mack High here in LeGrand yesterday. This softball team's good. They go to Pendleton on Friday, and they play their last two GOL games of the year, and Pendleton's the only team that's beat them. They're 1-1 this year against Pendleton, and those games on Friday at 2-4 will decide the GOL softball-wise. The baseball team swept Ontario on Wednesday 13-3 and 8-3, right? They're 7-1 in the GOL. They haven't played Pendleton yet. Those Pendleton games got postponed, so they're going to play Pendleton today, I believe. No, tomorrow, 2-4 here, and then they'll turn around and play Pendleton on Friday, 2-4 over there. And basically, those four games decide the GOL for baseball. So it's a big week for LHS baseball and softball. And we'll know on Friday who wins the GOL this year. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we aren't going to make the playoffs, or we are. We could still possibly get in. And I'm thinking both teams will probably get in. It's just a matter of winning the league or not. EOU track and field will be at the conference meet this weekend in Klamath Falls, Friday and Saturday. Man, I'm excited to see what this team does. I mean, I think the men are ranked 11th in the country. Women are, you know, top 20, right around 20. It's just been a pretty solid year for the distance runners, the throwers. You got Justin Ash, Hunter Nichols, Woodward, Kenna Woodward having a great year. Tanner Nett's having a great year throwing the shot put. It's going to be exciting. And so that's this weekend, Thursday and Friday. EOU softball. What an awesome story. The first time since 2016, EOU softball is the conference tournament champions. And so basically this season, they should have won the regular season. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. They crapped the bed the last weekend of the year. They needed to beat Southern 3-4, and they only beat them twice. And only once was a league game. Because like I've told you before, the way the CCC works is the first three games of the weekend count towards the league record, and then the last one doesn't. It just counts overall. And EOU lost two of those three, ended up basically losing the regular season championship on the last day of the season. But then they turned around, they came into this tournament, and they would have got to host this tournament if they would have won. But they go on the road to Klamath Falls, and they just handled business. They didn't lose one time. It was a double elimination tournament. They ended up beating Southern in the championship game yesterday, 5-4, and those games were pushed a day because of weather. It was snowing on May 5th in Klamath Falls. Wow, you know what I mean? That's how crazy our weather's been. But, yeah, EOU softball, it's been absolutely awesome. They're, in my eyes, they are hands down the best team in the toughest conference in the country, and I'll keep saying that. I talked about on Friday the whole all conference thing, and I'm gonna say it again. I don't go out there and say this kind of thing often, and I actually thought about it a lot this weekend. Haley Tyree is an all conference player. She showed it again this weekend. She broke the school record for stolen bases, led the conference in stolen bases, hit 328, and didn't even get honorable mention. And that's just, it's a travesty in my eyes. I don't even see how it happens. And then EOU baseball, they finished their season. All conference came out. Joey Freitas got gold glove. He should have been all conference as well. And I'll tell you that right now. This kid is an all conference player. He's the only one on EOU in my eyes that should have got all conference. Nobody did. And it's just weird. I feel like maybe this, you know, the West side in NAIA, the Western United States kind of get overlooked. And with the way our softball team's playing and our volleyball team, you know, everything that's been going on, hopefully that's opening some people's eyes. The selection show for softball is today at 2:00. NAIA on YouTube, you can watch it right there, and we'll see where EOU is going to end up. They're probably going to get a really good first round game. I'm assuming they're 10th in the country right now. They win the CCC conference. I'm going to assume that they're going to get a very nice first round game, and hopefully they'll make it to the final site. I mean, that's the goal, you know. The goal is to win a national championship, but the final site is what they really are striving for right now. Schedule for the week. All we got at EOU this week is CCC championships. That's it. We're already past the championships for softball. So that graphic there brought to you by EOU Athletics. Morning Sports Report brought to you by Northwest Furniture and Mattress. Big red rocking chair on Elm off Adams and LeGrand.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was blabbering a little bit, but I'm still frustrated about that whole all-conference thing. I mean, they made Hannah Tyree the second team all-conference catcher, and everybody knows she's the best catcher in the league, at least everybody that I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could argue that J.C. Sievert's right there from OIT, but she was second team too.
Yeah.
And what does she do this weekend in the championship game? Their game's tied 3-3. Hannah Tyree, bomb. Two-run home run. The game decider right there. Hmm. So she just took it out on, you know, the softball, which I like. I really like that. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if you were a gambling person, what do you think the chances of somebody like Peasley in a little town getting, even getting as far as what he's gotten?
Very slim. Like,
yeah.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I mean, I think only 1.7% of D1 players make it in the NFL or something like that. It's a small, and that's D1.
I mean, right.
It's very small.
Right. Yeah. And then as QB is.
Yeah. Smaller. And it they're, and coming from a small town, not a lot of recognition. LeGrand wasn't well known. They're not like some football powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like talking about like St. John's Bosco or something.
Yeah.
No.
No.
We it's have really all cool. Of, it's a lot have, of work is what it is.
We have all of his high school
film
games on film. Yeah. Yeah. So.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun to watch him.
Craft in the bed. Nuke and bird. He did. They crafted the bed. I mean, I could have used a more colorful word if you wanted
me
to.
Yeah, I think that was colorful enough.
Well, I mean, they really, I mean, that's how you would say it if you played subpar. Okay, there you go, bud. They played subpar.
Yeah.
Softball.
All right. Well, let's take a look outside. Look at the weather. It's how we described it, kind of rainy. At the end of the day yesterday, it just like poured for a little bit. Let's look at our graphic. So up to 50 today.
Up to 80 this week?
Yeah, it's going to get warm.
I had no idea.
Somebody had told me that it was getting warmer.
The morels are coming right there. That looks good right there.
Is that what makes them pop out?
This weekend, it's going to be hot. There's going to be a lot of people out.
Yeah.
I know a couple spots, but I'm not like the Morel Whisperer or anything. But I do know
the Morel Whisperer.
Yeah. Some people are, dude. They can find those things. I mean, it's crazy. You go out there with them, and you don't see nothing in there. Like, boop, boop, boop. They got a whole bag.
Yeah.
You're like,
speak to me.
Yeah, that's. I mean, there are some people like that. I got a friend that it don't matter. He always ends up with a bag or two full of Morels.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, I think it would be an advantage to be shorter.
Is that the deal? Yeah, you're
short. Well, it has to be. You can see better. You're closer to the ground. I'm way up here trying to find those little things. That's what I always say. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Well, you got to go with whatever excuse you got. Yeah. So, all righty. Well, hey, let me tell you about one of our sponsors that you know and you've heard a lot about, Rockin' Sons Tire and Auto. They're veteran-owned and... Their customer service is their number one priority, and they are determined to go the extra mile to work and to take care of your problems. Justin, he's a great guy. We really appreciate Justin, and Justin Rockinson's sponsored the sports show for a long period of time, and recently recently hired us on. Also to manage their social media account and to do this type of advertising. So really appreciate them, appreciate their investment in bringing you the kind of stories that you're going to hear today that nobody else in the area is bringing you. So Rockin' Sons Tire and Auto, go check them out. We will be right back in just a minute with Nick Vora and Kyle Tucker from Union County Emergency Services. All right, we're back. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Yeah. So this is Nick Vora and Kyle Tucker. Nick is the emergency Union County Emergency Services Coordinator.
So Union County Emergency Services Director, aka
the County Emergency Manager.
Okay, thank you, Manager. Okay, and Kyle Tucker is a volunteer that volunteers in a number of different places.
Yes. Yeah. So
and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But kind of, I don't know, give me a little bit of a, how are things going?
So,
anything exciting going on?
As always, we've got a lot of different irons in the fire, working with a variety of plans, which are not super exciting. Last time I was on your show, we talked about one of them that we're doing with our community wildfire protection plan. But then also been really fortunate to get some grants to buy equipment. So been getting some equipment for our local law enforcement partners with SWAT team, like night vision. Also with search and rescue, we've gotten some water rescue stuff, a lot of new rope rescue equipment, and a variety of other stuff. So, and then also the really big project I'm working on right now is replacing our public safety radio system. So,
okay,
a lot of moving parts.
Well, and you and I, we've talked, you've been on the show a couple of times with, I mean, clearly on Cody's show. And the thing about you that's interesting, Nick, is that, so you're paid to do one job, but you volunteer in a whole bunch of other places. Yeah. Right.
And more or less.
Yeah.
I'm a salaried employee by the county and kind of with a fortunate to have a broad umbrella of my description. So,
yeah. Right. But you also volunteer in a number and, you know, when, and that's awesome. I mean, I've served on a number of boards and organizations, and whenever you have volunteers that are connected to other organizations, it just broadens the amount of assets that comes with that person.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think volunteers are, and I guess they're really critical to our emergency response. And our emergency response capabilities, I think, start at the administrative level from a support standpoint on one side of the spectrum. And then you have the boots on the ground on the other side.
Right.
I think in Union County, we're incredibly blessed that of the administrative support that we have from our commissioners, from Sheriff Bowen for our search and rescue team, that it's really outstanding. And I think we're set up in a really good place, having the support that we need to do our jobs.
Yeah.
And then we have incredible volunteers like Kyle that allow us to do it, because in a place like Union County, with paid staff, we would have just a couple people at most on any agency, whereas with volunteers, we're able to have enough people to actually make things happen.
Yeah, and Kyle, thank you for being here this morning. You also are volunteer in a number of different places, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, kind of tell us, and you were giving me a list earlier. Tell me the things that you're involved in.
Well, I do search and rescue and fire department, QRT, ski patrol, baseball, soccer, a lot of other neighborly things that we don't really talk about and nobody really recognizes, but I would encourage people, if you're not involved, to get out there and go meet your neighbor, go help them out.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be an actual organization to be a volunteer.
So how much of you volunteering is, you really are interested in that, and the volunteer organ, this is a little bit of a cynical question. So it's like, you're already doing that. Oh, hey, and there's an organization that I can do that for, you know, playing soccer, playing sports. I mean, is that something you've always been involved in and stuff?
I've always been involved in certain things. There are a lack of volunteers right now. Baseball, frankly, is something I have zero interest in, but I have kids that are interested in it.
Okay.
And luckily, this year we got a head coach, and I luckily got downgraded from head coach to assistant coach, and he's great. But we just don't have enough people to fill all the roles that the community is asking for. And the bottom line is, if you want a community, you need to be the community. And people need to get out there and contribute to what they want. If you want a fire department to show up, you have to
at some point be a part of the fire department, whether it's helping fundraise or eating their pancakes on their fundraisers, spreading the word that they need help. But you got to get out and be involved in the community. Otherwise, you're not going to have a community.
Right. And there are times, and I'm sure you run into those folks, that they're critical of whatever's going on, but they're not plugged in any manner. That's probably pretty aggravating at times.
It can be very aggravating. I've got some pretty snide comments for them, but
yeah.
I also carry applications in my wallet, so I have no problems handing people an application when they complain.
Yeah.
And encourage them to join. We've got a bunch of really great volunteers that have come out because they were rescued,
right,
or because their house got saved from a fire, and same with the sports side of things. Their kids get involved, they want to get involved, or they don't like how the current coach is acting, so, well, come out and coach them.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you.
Exercise your voice, yeah.
On the sports side, I'll chime in on this one. It's so hard to find volunteers because people treat coaches and umpires like crap. I mean, it's true. I mean, and so, like, you're like dodging. You gotta work your way through, you know, that and the fact that, I mean, people don't even want to work right now, let alone, like we were talking before the show, they don't even want to work, let alone volunteer. So, I see where the downfall is 100%. I coached middle school football for 7 years, and it just wore me out, man. Parents
are brutal.
They really are, man. So that would be my plea. Treat the coaches and the umpires good.
Yeah.
They're volunteers.
Yeah. Well, but you clearly, though, it's important to you personally. I mean, where do you think you got that?
Well, I can tell you exactly where I got my ability to volunteer, and that when I was a kid, my dad was a volunteer ambulance driver. There were a number of events that we were at that my dad would grab us by our shirts and we'd go sit in the ambulance and we'd have to go on an ambulance call or a fire call. Because frankly, he was one of a handful of people that had the ability to do so. We mowed the baseball fields, we irrigated them. I did not volunteer for any of that. I was volunteered by my father and my mother. She was very involved in the church, still is. In fact, she's to the point where I don't know how she does it. She's supposed to be retired, but she just goes and goes and goes. So I'm very fortunate to have been blessed with them. And frankly, I'm just trying to pass a little bit of that on. And I think it's important for our communities that we carry the community. If you want to have a community, you got to be the community.
Yeah. Now, who's your parents?
Tom and Helen Tucker.
Okay. Yeah.
You know them.
Yeah, yeah. So for people who like say, well, and we'll get into this more specifically, you know, well, I don't have the physical ability to do that, or I don't have the, or I'm too old to do that, or, I mean, what would you say to them, Kyle?
Well, I can give you an example. I am horrible at baseball.
Okay.
But truthfully, as much as I dislike the sport, it's probably been the most gratifying experience.
Yeah.
To see these youngsters really practice and work hard, and you encourage them and work with them and see their abilities come along. And my group of kids, they're just kicking butt right now, and it's really fun and neat to see. And it's hard to talk to people about the abilities they don't have, because the fact of the matter is, you will not have abilities unless you get out there and learn them. And there are a ton of people that have gone into trades because they simply volunteered to help out in that trade, and then they gave them a chance with a job, and then they moved up through the ranks, and now they're the lead in that field. As far as volunteering, get out there and ask. You're only going to find out if you get out there and ask. People will encourage you to do so in every field you can think of.
What age do you coach?
U9.
Oh, so That is the perfect place for somebody that knows nothing about baseball. I would rather somebody coach a 9-year-old that knows nothing about baseball, because at that point, baseball is not even what you're teaching them, really. I mean, the fundamentals here, that, but you're just teaching the kid how to act, really, as a 9-year-old, and how to be around a team. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love coaches that don't know anything about a sport, coaching, especially young kids. No, as you get into high school and all that, obviously you got to know a little bit, but it's at that point.
But you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely, and not only do you get to learn too. So mm-hmm. you're teaching these little kids how to be a teammate and how to, you know, maybe throw a ball, but you're learning it as well. I love that. It's perfect.
You know, we've talked about this over and over, but one of the most important things about sports and that kind of participation is just learning to show up, learning what it means to be a team,
how to treat people right.
Right, how to treat, huge. And how to keep going even though it's tough. I mean, that we're seeing that everywhere, where people, they just do not have any endurance to mm-hmm. to stick with something that's difficult. And, you know, those are some of the things that you learn through sports or through volunteers. So let's come back to so Nick, you brought us some pictures.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So I think the reason Kyle was the first person that came to mind for me when I was thinking, who would be someone that I could bring with me who really exemplifies volunteerism and contributing to your community? And Kyle was the first person I thought of, just with everything that he does.
It's because I'm a sucker.
He's the type of person that never has an excuse why he can't do something, whereas he finds a reason to help out. Yeah. And I got some photos here, just some examples of what Kyle does from an emergency response standpoint to help us out in the community. From this here is just recently, we were doing a combined training with local fire departments working on rappelling. And this is Kyle teaching the group on how to rappel off the side of the Bi-Mart building.
That's a job that Kyle could do. Our Kyle.
No. Yeah. Not in a million years.
I'm still going to try and suck him in.
This here is a search and rescue call that we hiked into overnight. We got on scene about 3 in the morning, met our patient, spent the night with the patient, and this was a photo the next morning. This here was a plane crash, a fairly tragic outcome to the plane crash, but this was here in Union County, and something that an incident that Kyle was very key with leading the team on the ground that located the accident. This last June, we had this call on the Grand Ronde River, where also this was a very unfortunate outcome. There was one fatality from a tree that fell across some tents. You might remember that.
I remember that.
We've had this picture on the show before, the last time you were here.
And this is from that call.
I'm glad I took it.
This here is some flooding that we had a while back. And there's Kyle on the left helping load sandbags.
You are a sucker, man.
This here is a call in the wilderness where we had a woman with an injured ankle. Kyle, on some portions of the trail where it was too rough to transport her by a wheeled litter, carried her on his back for miles. And
are they in the water right there?
Yes, that's crossing Eagle Creek.
Eagle Creek.
Then this is on that same call.
It would have taken us days if we didn't pack her. So, I'm lazy.
This here is on a call that mutual aid to Umatilla County. We had about 100 searchers on that.
Wow.
So on large incidents where we get volunteers from all over the place. Then here's a wildland fire that we had just north of LaGrande a few years ago. Kyle, through all his roles with volunteering, also on the fire department, where our agencies mutual aid each other. So we'll have volunteers from Cove Fire Department coming to assist LaGrande Rural on wildfires like this. Then also assist with a variety of things as well. All of us would like to forget COVID, but we did have volunteers that played a really key role in helping with that initial response when nobody really was sure what exactly was going on. We had volunteers from Search and Rescue and other organizations assisting that initial phase of the response. And then this is just a few weeks ago. Kyle was one of the responders to a snowmobile accident that we had where a gentleman was fairly severely injured from crashing his snowmobile. And Kyle responded with our search and rescue team to help resolve that. Our search and rescue team also does a lot of community education. And Kyle and his counterparts who volunteer with our search and rescue team do a lot of stuff with outdoor school. Jen Hafer, the woman whose back is to the photographer in this picture.
Standing on the buckets.
Yes, I'm not sure. You might want to do some community education. It's probably not a great idea to stand on two buckets.
So, Jen's an awesome person, but she is short.
And so that's awesome that we have volunteers that contribute their knowledge to the community in those ways. This year's another search and rescue call that Kyle was involved with, a real challenging rescue in Umatilla County, where we had to transport a gentleman for several miles across a river, down some really steep slopes. And then Kyle also, a very significant distinction. He was awarded the State Sheriff's Association Search and Rescue Volunteer of the Year award 2 years ago, which really speaks a lot for his just his volunteerism and his ethic. When you can, it's a competition from across volunteers across the state.
Yeah.
And so that's.
Now, did you get an award there too?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
Oh, so we got to point that out. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I just Kyle, I think, is just a great example. And I started as volunteering too with a lot of the same stuff as far as volunteering with fire and SAR and all of that, which ultimately led to me being in the position that I'm in now. So volunteering doesn't just get people the benefit of helping their community. It also is, depending on what your career aspirations are, can set you up for a really awesome career in emergency services as well.
So we were talking offline before about kind of the different, if somebody's like, I really want to get involved, but I'm not sure how much time I have, or, you know, and you were talking about kind of a scale of involvement. And talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think Kyle is on one extreme end of the spectrum as far as someone who is just an incredible asset to our community. I don't know what I would do without without him. And then there's people who don't have as much time that they can give it. So there's a spectrum of organizations. Rather than being involved in everything, people can choose what they feel is most beneficial to them. And so maybe Red Cross, helping with disaster response, sheltering, helping people whose homes catch on fire and they need a place to stay temporarily. That could be something that someone dedicates some time to. Red Cross always needs people. There's volunteer fire departments, which is, they have a little bit more of a call volume, train a lot more. And that's another great way to be involved. And the search and rescue is somewhere between the two as far as call volume and training requirements goes. So on the public safety side of volunteering, those three categories of organizations are really key to allowing me to do my job effectively. If I didn't have volunteers like Kyle, who I know would respond when their pager goes off, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night as an emergency manager for the county, because
you already don't sleep at night.
We need people like him in our community to, because when people call 911, they assume that like the cavalry, this unnamed group of people will just show up. But when you think about who are those people, that could be your neighbor getting out of bed to respond to that call.
Could be you.
Yeah. So you recently, you had one of your longtime volunteers. She quit or went on to something else, but you were honoring her for her long period of service, but she was never in the field. You'll have to remember.
So, yeah. With search and rescue, so we are, and I believe this is who you're speaking of, is our member of the year.
Okay,
search and rescue, and she's still actually very involved in our unit. So Chris Wilson is an example of someone who, she primarily supports us outside of missions and emergency response, which a lot of people don't necessarily think of. And she was very involved in the past on the emergency side of things and has transitioned to a support role that is really key. And just getting Volunteer of the Year, I think, really shows how much we value her contributions and people like her. So an example of the way people in a support role really are critical to us being effective is we're doing a regional search and rescue training that's coming up in 2 weeks. It's going to be 3 days long. It's at the Blue Mountain 4-H Center off End Road in LeGrand, or just north of LeGrand. And we're going to have agencies from all across, actually the state, primarily just our region though, from fire, search and rescue, law enforcement, civil air patrol, other agencies involved doing classes, scenarios. A lot of logistics are involved. Chris Wilson is helping out tremendously with the logistics, going out, mapping parking spaces. She's doing all the food for everyone showing up at this and organize a team to help her with that. And just taking a huge amount of workload off my shoulders. So people like that. And then we also have another awesome volunteer, Mark Gish, who is assisting her and assists us with those support functions that allows people like Kyle, who otherwise I might be like, hey, Kyle, can you help me out with this? I'm really in a bind. He can focus on the emergency response side, and then I have others who are assisting on the support side, which there's a job for everyone.
Right. And I think that was one of the things I was trying to get to earlier is that you don't have to be, I mean, even if you're older, like I am, I would love to be involved in search and rescue or learn how to climb trees or learn how to, but maybe there are other things that I can do that support, you know, and those, I mean, I know enough about volunteers and boards and stuff and organizations that those are the kinds of things that keep volunteers from being burned out. Because that's when you get burned out. You get burned out when you end up doing
everything.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not necessarily associated with your passion. If your passion is to be out there and be hiking and rescuing or whatever the case might be, that physical activity, then sometimes the clerical stuff can just burn you out totally.
So. Yeah.
We have a lot of great volunteers. And one of the things with search and rescue, we need crappers. That's very unglorified, but we need somebody to take the crappers out to where we have our incident command and deliver meals.
Let's go back. You said crappers?
Porta-potties.
Okay, right. So it's not. You need somebody to take the porta-potties out. Yeah, right.
Simply drive them out to where our command is.
Right, yeah.
We need somebody to take meals out.
Right.
All that stuff takes time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're in an emergent situation, somebody's life is on the line, that's not a priority. I mean, those are the type. I mean, you're dealing with that. I mean, it's a priority after you somewhere along the line is a priority. But,
priority for me.
Right. But the point is, it's you're not going to, if something emergent's going on, you're not going to take the time, let's throw the porta potty on the back of the trailer before we go on. You know, it's because it's taking away from something that might be vital. Yeah. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. And
it's a good guess.
And I think when we're looking at, as far as like support roles, our people can't take care of others if we don't take care of the first responders. And I think, and that also, even outside the emergency response goes to, like you're saying, if someone signed up to volunteer to put out fires, operate shelters, rescue people, the fundraising side, or also I think from like the public service in government mm-hmm. as well. If you think of the people who decide to serve on the fire district boards, mm-hmm. that's a very unglorified position that can sometimes be a lot of administrative work. So choosing to run and be that elected official on those boards it can often be very thankless, but it's very necessary to help steer the ship and take some of that administrative burden off of the volunteers, which otherwise might fall on them.
Yeah.
Too.
Got a couple comments. Mr. Fraser says, "Nice job, Kyle." Kyle's mom says, "Proud of you, Kyle." Nick, "Hey, Dodds, I think the LeGrand baseball games are today, our senior night." I maybe she would know better than me, because they don't tell you on the schedule.
Yeah,
I know softball's the 18th. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's Kyle's mom.
Thanks, mom. Thanks, mom.
Yep.
She mom, says she's proud of you.
Moms are always kind of a showstopper. It doesn't matter. Right? It's like, yeah.
Just silence.
Yeah, when I'd spot my mom out in the audience when I've been doing things in the past. She's passed now, but it's like, yeah, you notice mom. There's mom. Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to spot my mom. You would hear her. Trust me.
Well, the bottom line with volunteering, that does bring up a good point. The only way I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because I have a very supporting wife.
Yeah.
I've got kids that know when things come up, it's time to organize our lives and make a move to accommodate dad getting out the door to go run the ambulance or the search and rescue issue or whatnot. And my parents have been fundamental over the years in just having daycare that, hey, I got a call, can you take the kids? And
right.
That structure in place really supports what I do.
And there's one other thing that I'd like to add to that, which I think this family support is critical, and I think families deserve a huge shout out to supporting the volunteers in their family, but also our community employers is another thing. Kyle and his boss, Jeff Sue, with the local surveyors, they're incredible. Some of my best volunteers. And in addition to that, they take time out of their day when they could otherwise be making money to go and help others. Mm-hmm. And I think the employers who support their volunteers, who are their employee or their employees who are volunteers.
Yeah.
Really, it's critical, because emergencies don't just happen between 5 p.m. and 9 right. a.m. They right. happen at all times of day. And to those businesses in the community who place the overall health and of the community over their profits and yeah. making money is something that without them, we wouldn't have volunteer right. emergency response. So I think a huge shout out to...
Yeah, and who do they work for? So, I mean, let's give them a shout out.
So Kyle, who do you
Maggie
work for?
Griffin Blackman. If you okay. need a survey, give us a call. If we're not there, we're probably on a call.
Right, but you're absolutely right. I mean, and we talk about the businesses, Northwest Furniture and Mattress and all of those that... They you know, they sponsor baseball teams, and every kid that comes in the door is raising money. Those are, you know, and this is a different angle of a company who is supporting the community in a different manner that people might not know
yeah,
and understand.
You don't see that right. community support right. that right. they're doing, but it's incredible and tremendous. And for a business to close their doors for a day
yeah.
to come and rescue someone or put out a fire or put up sandbags right. To keep someone's house from flooding, like
yeah.
that's huge.
Yeah.
And I would love to see ways that if we could, like, big picture, like, have some sort of, like, tax credits for businesses that support employees who volunteer. That's kind of, like, my dream down the road, something
that is,
like
that's
that.
An interesting
but it's
angle.
Also
yeah.
would be very easy to abuse a system
yeah.
like that, too. So
yeah.
as far as figuring out something, that's... Because really, that without them, without the families and the businesses and ultimately the volunteers, we wouldn't have
yeah.
effective emergency response. So it's really a whole community beyond just what you see in uniform.
Yeah.
And friends and neighbors. I tell you, some of my best friends have been made from these organizations I belong to. And when I built my shop, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I had a call out for help with laying a concrete floor. Thought I'd get a couple people. And I had well over a dozen. People that I would have never expected. Professional contractors that made friends with through these organizations. Yeah. So, great place to meet people. Get to know your community.
Yeah.
And they'll be there for you as well as you for them.
Absolutely. Well, you have some more. You want to show us a few more pictures?
I can just give some examples of some events and things that our local volunteers help us out with on day-to-day. This is an example of a trail rescue on with the search and rescue call. This here is an individual who fell off the horse on this trail leading down from Moss Springs several miles in. Multi-agency effort, sheriff's office, search and rescue, as well as patrol staff, LeGrand Fire Department, LeGrand Rural Fire District. Everybody combined forces and helped out with this rescue. This is another photo from that same call.
Wow.
So I got a question about that last picture. Go back to that one, if you don't mind. Can you?
And
yeah. The one with everybody's, that one. Like, is that normal, that many people?
Yeah,
like,
that's and you a see lot everyone of people for we one have person. Here from Sheriff Bowen on the right to volunteers with, we also have the Forest Service in there as well, who I forgot to mention. So we have federal agencies, local volunteer and career fire, and then the search and rescue all the way up to the sheriff himself on that call. And then one. So.
That's the one I think he was referring to. Like, he got all the way in there and, like, I got to hike back out. Yeah.
Was that like a special circumstance, or is that normal?
I'd say that's normal on a call like that. That was several miles in the wilderness, and we used everyone who responded to that call. And so it's just an example. I think we benefit from tremendous interagency cooperation here in Union County. That is, we're really a Goldilocks county as far as that, in my opinion, that with all of our agencies, that the culture that their leaders have inspired in their staff is cooperation, coordination. There's no turf wars. It's all outcome focused on what's best for the person that needs help, not who gets the credit for it. And that really says a lot for our local elected officials and our agency leaders.
So now when you're rescuing somebody in the wilderness, and the wilderness has super strict regulations about motorized vehicles or even wheeled things, do you have an exception?
So
do they give you?
Yeah. An example, we have a helicopter on the ground right there in that previous picture where so obviously.
Yes, okay, you're right, right, got it.
You can't quite see it in this picture here, but there's a wheeled litter. Aren't normally allowed.
Right, okay.
There's times we have to use chainsaws, snowmobiles, things like that.
So which makes sense,
in exigent circumstances, the Forest Service is really great with providing us the flexibility to do what needs to be done to help people.
Yeah, okay.
So
good.
You would hope so. I mean, if you're saving somebody's life.
I'm telling you, I've been, as I'm preparing for commissioner, I've been involved in these conversations about forest and Forest Service and regulations and wilderness. And
so our local Forest Service is really incredible. They help us out with providing resources to us on calls.
Yeah.
Very frequently, and some very expensive resources, such as aircraft.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
A lot of credit goes to the interagency cooperation that they provide us. And then we have some other photos here. This here is on a mutual aid rescue to Umatilla County. This one took several days to get this woman who had fallen down a hillside. She was in a diabetic emergency, as well as having some physical injuries. This was one of the hillsides that we were using rope systems to help extract her up. And the night before, we spent all night logging out a path down this hillside in the snowstorm to be able to use the rope system to get her out. So everyone in this picture is a volunteer.
And I would disagree with Nick on the few pictures back. We normally don't have 50 people to go pack somebody out of the wilderness. on a Saturday that there's no baseball games, there's nothing going on.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Like, oh yeah, I'll go for
it. Like a lot of people.
A little hike in the wilderness.
Was that like somebody running for county commissioner? Like somebody famous? Like everybody's there? Like, oh yeah.
And I guess what I would say is the number of people on this call was great, but the level of cooperation was not unusual.
Okay.
So it's not unusual to see Forest Service, Sheriff's Office, Fire Department, Search and Rescue together. But we were really blessed to have as many people as we did.
Well, so, the other reason why I asked that question is because in my mind, I automatically go to like what makes sense. And I'm thinking like, if you take that many people into an area where somebody else got hurt and it wasn't safe, you know, the more people you bring in, the more chances that somebody else is going to fall and hurt themselves. So I was like, that many people in one area saving one person, you know, the chance of somebody else getting hurt has to go up.
It also, on the same side, kind of the other side of that argument, is having more people, we're putting less stress on each one individual to do something,
yeah,
and we're able to look out for each other
yourself.
More. Yeah, so share the workload a little bit.
Yep.
So, and kind of continuing on here with some other incidents, we've got this photo. Is a pretty high-profile incident from several years ago.
Yeah, that was
with
right,
a drowning
right down here, close, right?
That we had in Riverside Park. So the agencies involved here, we had Search and Rescue, Rural Fire District, City of LeGrand Fire Department, Wallowa County Search and Rescue Swiftwater Team is in the boat. Then we have Marine Patrol and Search and Rescue in the jet boat downstream. So this is just another example of that cooperation and coordination between a pretty wide variety of agencies. And then kind of moving from search and rescue to some other types of calls, this here is a fire as far as, and rural fire department volunteers. More search and rescue, technical rescue training. We have an awesome group of volunteers that do technical rescue.
You gotta zoom in on that person's face though. Is this a volunteer or is this?
Yeah, this is a training incident that we were doing.
I'm smiling, thumbs up. Yeah, I was.
Was it the training where we went to a real call?
No.
Yeah.
Although we have had that happen, where we go to train and end up responding to an actual incident unrelated. So.
Yeah, I'm not the volunteer. I would not volunteer to be in that basket. I like that.
No. I wouldn't have to. I would not fit in that basket.
Oh, we can get you to fit.
No, you could not get. Yeah, I'm big, dude. My shoulders. I don't think you could get me in that basket. I'd be hanging all. I'd have lots of stuff hanging out.
You might be fighting me getting in it, but we could get you in.
Yeah. All right. So keep going.
So then this here is from a rescue that we had with some elk hunters who got lost. And our SAR volunteers hiking in through the snow to locate them.
Oh, wow.
It never happens when there's good weather.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to tell this on this particular call. There were points where I was walking through snow that was thigh deep.
Wow.
On me. All right, so it's challenging conditions, but also very rewarding to go through that with our volunteers here. This is a wildland fire that we had a partnership with a lot of agencies assisting substantially the volunteers. More search and rescue, technical rescue training. This here is a mutual aid incident that we had. It was a tragic outcome with one fatality, but then also we're able to save two individuals. All three of them fell off a waterfall in Umatilla County. So we had volunteers from Umatilla and Union County Sheriff's Offices, and then we had some fire agencies and National Guard involved as well. Also volunteers with our rural fire departments that with fire calls, with OSHA regulations, have to have two people outside who are prepared to rescue two people that go inside.
Mm.
And if you think about from a staffing standpoint, that means that before you can really do things effectively, you have to have four people on scene. And imagine if all of our agencies were career having four people on shift in every agency across Union County would be impossible.
Right, right.
And so we rely on volunteers really
you
to be effective.
You gotta have a fifth to run the engine.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just more photos. This here is a highline system across the Grand Ronde River. The vehicle crashed and caught on fire on the interstate. With the rural fire district responded to a very icy, slippery semi-truck crash and fire on the interstate. Staffed by volunteers. And then also, what people might not think of as far as closing out the photo series here is during large emergencies, I rely on volunteers to help us with the management of that incident in addition to their response. And this here is a large exercise that we did. We'll be doing another one this October. We have people from all over the county who are assisting. There's Kyle on the far left of that picture with managing that simulated incident as they would a real incident. And this is more volunteers with our search and rescue team and others helping out with that. So we use them all over the place, and just kind of looking at the cooperation here, you can see from uniforms, we have search and rescue, ODF, LeGrand Parks Department, Public Works, and then back in the other picture, you can see a dozen agencies represented by the individuals in that picture.
Craig Kretschmer and Harvard.
Yeah, we just really benefit from all the cooperation and the volunteers that support those agencies, and definitely just encourage anyone, if any of the photos that we've shown, any of that looks like fun, we have a job for you. There's a job for everyone, and we just really encourage people to reach out. People can always contact me at my office, 963-1009. And I'd be more than happy to meet with them, talk to them, and find a good place for their desire to help their community and what fits best.
1009?
Yes.
963-1009. And that if they don't get a hold of you, they probably can leave a message, I would imagine. Yeah. Well, and you brought some cool gear, but we'll talk about that another time. Because couple of things I'm thinking is that the training, that's next weekend?
So, regional search and rescue training called EOSAR, which is Eastern Oregon Search and Rescue.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing classes, simulated rescues.
Well, maybe we can talk about it, but maybe we can send a videographer out or something.
Yeah,
you know.
We'd be more than welcome to shadow.
And then anytime you do something like that, either one of you guys, I mean, if you do something and you want to send us pictures, you know, after the fact, whatever it might be, I mean, and I know you guys, you keep up the Search and Rescue Facebook page pretty well, but even if there's training stuff that you're not, is like, it's, you know, I mean, you send us photos, we'll use that, or we'll mention it on the shows or whatever the case might be. So the other question I had was, is there ever a time where it's like, wow, that person landed on that portion of the cliff? Or it's like you walk up and, you know, I mean, and a few years ago, there was an incident, I don't know if you guys were involved in this, where the guy was in a tree stand and he got hung up and was upside down. Yeah, you know, but are there situations like that where it's like, how are we going to get that person retrieved or out of the jam? I mean, yeah.
There definitely are. I think the tree stand rescue really highlights the kind of one extreme in that example. And really, the best way that we deal with that is by training to give people the skill set necessary to problem solve. And whether career or volunteer, it doesn't make a difference. It's having the skills and the ability to look at something and critically think, like, gosh, how am I gonna go about fixing this problem?
Right.
And So that in that case with the tree stand, we rigged a system up above the tree and was able to.
Well, and it seems like OTEC or one of the power crews.
Yes, OTEC sent a lineman, and I went up in the bucket with the OTEC lineman to rescue that individual from the tree. And if it weren't for OTEC assisting with that call, I think it's entirely possible that that gentleman may not have survived.
Yeah.
But he actually made a complete recovery, which is. From going from being in cardiac arrest and CPR to full complete recovery is very unique and lucky.
Man,
so.
Very lucky.
That's incredible. And I would imagine, Kyle, do you have any memories like that where you interfaced with somebody and, you know, you made a huge difference in their life, or there's a part of that's rewarding for you, you know?
There's a huge part that's rewarding for me, but I would say probably 1 out of 5 calls. You're so in the moment, and you're just following your training, and you need to make sure that knot's tied right, and you need to make sure the fire's put out over here so you can safely go in, and you're looking out for your buddies. And then you step outside, and you collapse, and go, holy shnikes, what the heck just happened? And then you think about it, and that's kind of when the emotions start flowing. And sometimes you cry, and sometimes those people come out and thank you, and thank you so much, thank you so much. And sometimes they send you cookies in the mail. I encourage it. Those are very, very rewarding moments.
Once they start sending you cookies, it's not volunteering anymore. You know that, right?
It's paid. I get it. I'm cheap, though.
You have to put
Doesn't
that
take
on
many
the
cookies.
Taxes. 18 cookies.
But some of the most rewarding moments, truthfully, are those moments with the kids with playing baseball, did Meals on Wheels, and just meeting with the elderly people every day and them saying, you know, you're the first person I've seen in 4 months. Mm. And sitting down and having a moment with them and them sharing their life experience with you, those are more rewarding to me than the guy that I just performed CPR and he's awake and he says, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, I know he should be thankful for that. I know that was a very tragic situation, and it was amazing it turned out the way it did because of the way we trained, and luck was on his side, or the Lord was on his side, however you want to say that. But I truthfully find the little moments, the little hidden ones, with the baseball and other things that are rewarding.
Yeah, because those kind of moments bring you back to right now. I mean, it's like in this moment, right now. There's no thinking ahead, and it brings about some gratefulness in yourself. At least that does for me. It's like suddenly it pulls me back into the things that I'm grateful for, you know. I mean,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. If you're interfacing with somebody who hasn't had human contact in a long time, and then that makes you reflect on how fortunate you are to have the relationships that you have every day, all the time, that you take for granted. Yeah.
Yeah. And the relationships I build just by volunteering.
Right.
I would have never known Nick. Well, maybe I would have, but most likely I wouldn't know him near as well as I do now.
Yeah,
pretty thankful for those and those people that can show up when I'm in a time of need.
Right. Awesome.
It's quite a blessing.
Well, hey, thanks, men, and I really appreciate it. And Nick, we're trying to get you back once a quarter anyhow on a regular basis, and we really, really appreciate it. One more time, the shout out. If people want to volunteer, what do they do?
I would say reach out to the organization you're interested in, and if someone maybe isn't quite sure how to contact them or what that organization is, contact me at Union County Emergency Services, 541-963-1009, and I can get them in touch with whatever organization might be the best fit for them.
Well,
phone numbers in the comments.
I would say identify your interest, and it might not be what you think you are interested in. You might find that you get involved with something and you develop interests elsewhere. And talk to your family about it and how much time you have to commit. Because if you're going for a volunteer position that's taking 30 hours a week and you have two, Your wife's probably not going to be happy with you. Yeah. Or your kids, or vice versa. Yeah. So talk with your families about it and get them involved as well. Kids love to volunteer. I just had my boy mopping the rodeo grounds over in Pendleton.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Well, and I would say that, you know, there everybody at time gets in a funk, you know, whatever it might be. You know, as busy as I am, as much as I interface with people, there are days that I wake up and I'm like, I'm just in a mood, you know. I mean, I'm feeling sorry for myself, or I'm concentrated on something that's not working. And giving to someone else, all of a sudden you run into somebody and they need, you hold the door for them, or you...
Exactly.
Whatever it might be. The minute that you start giving to someone else, it's like it just yanks you out of that.
Well, we can quote all the health effects. Yeah. You can look all that up online.
Yeah.
There's a ton of research on the mental as well as physical health aspects of volunteering.
Yeah.
It can be as simple as walking down the street picking up trash. You don't need an organization to volunteer with. And like you said, walking down the street, holding the door open, telling somebody, hey, have a nice day.
Yeah.
That goes a long ways.
Yep. Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you guys both for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it. So, you want to get us out of here?
Get us out of here. On this day, May 7th, 1789, the first U.S. presidential inaugural ball for George Washington, 1789. 1847, the American Medical Association is founded in Philadelphia. 1867, Swedish chemist Alfred Nobel patents dynamite in England. This is the first of three different patents he would receive for the explosive material. Three different patents for dynamite. I wonder what the other two were. I'm gonna have to look into that. 1914, U.S. Congress establishes. What did they establish on? It's
what
coming
year?
Up. 1914. It's coming up right around the corner.
1914. I don't know. Election, 1914.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
By 1945. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, 1914. Yeah. 1945, Branch Rickey announces formation of the U.S. Negro Baseball League. 1975, President Ford officially declares an end to the Vietnam era. Hmm. 2019, Denver is the first U.S. city to decriminalize psilocybin, like the good, the well, not the good mushroom, but the goofy mushroom.
The good mushroom.
No, not for me. 2020, U.S. unemployment claims hit 33.3 million, or 20% of the workforce, versus 2 months ago. So if you look at the advancement, 3.5% to 22% in 3 months in 2020. That's crazy.
That's the amount of unemployment that went up?
In 2020,
because
of COVID. It was at a 50-year low for unemployment.
Right.
And then over the course of 2 months, it went up 16.5%.
Yeah.
That's just unreal. Number one song on this day in 1995, The Sign by Ace of Base. I don't know why it says 95. It was actually 94. Quote of the day comes from James Altucher. Honesty is the quickest way to prevent a mistake from turning into a failure. One more time. Honesty is the quickest way to prevent a mistake from turning into a failure.
All right. Yeah, good stuff.
Back on Thursday.
Yeah. Tonight is tonight at LeGrand High School. 5:30 is the final forum before the primary election. That will be the judges, and all nine commissioners will be there.
I'm gonna be watching that.
Yeah, I think we're not streaming it. If we find it, we'll share it on our stuff. But it's on the EOU network, I believe. EOU is doing that. Yeah. So anyhow, all right, we will see you all Thursday right here.